Hello everyone, it's Old One-Eyed Richard here with another YouTube video. And today I'm going to be talking about something that's kind of interesting to me because we're starting to see increasingly an intersection of things that I'm interested in and report about. And that is, of course, this kind of politics that we see and the resulting culture war that comes out with those politics. And of course, esports, competitive gaming. I kind of straddle both and talk about both because both interest me immensely. Very rarely do the two meet, but we've started to see that more and more. And actually, I'm doing this video kind of just to raise a bit of awareness that we are going to get some people who are going to come into esports who aren't going to be good for esports and are actually quite a little bit unhinged. Now, one of the people I'm going to talk about today, I've talked about them in other videos, I'm sure you'll be able to find them on this channel, is Chris Cluey. Now, if you don't know who Chris Cluey is, I'll give you a primer. He was a kicker for the Minnesota Vikings NFL franchise, and you'll know him. He talks very openly about, or in the past has talked very openly about being a gamer, but he really rose to prominence when he alleged that he had been fired from the Minnesota Vikings due to his support for gay marriage. Now, obviously, my views on gay marriage are very clear. It's an absolute fundamental right. I don't understand why, you know, there's any issue with it or has been. And finally, we're starting to see Western society kind of fall in line with that common sense that obviously homosexual people should be allowed to get married. I don't know why people's sexuality is still a big deal this far on. But anyway, for Chris Cluey, back in 2014, he was alleging that it was a big deal for the Minnesota Vikings. He wrote quite a famous op-ed. And again, I wasn't really expecting to get into this, so I will show it to you once more. And this was it was on Deadspin, of course. Which is a kind of a Kotaku sports vertical. And there it says, I was an NFL player until I was fired by two cowards and a bigot. And I've read this in greater detail before. He says he was basically fired for campaigning for gay rights, gay marriage rights. And the Minnesota Vikings apparently didn't like this. So he took them to court. Now, it's quite interesting that over the course of this court case, some very unpalatable things came out about Chris Cluey himself. And it was not dismissed, but there was like kind of a settlement. So what I'm going to show you here is some of the summaries of that settlement. This is on the Minnesota Vikings page. So you can see that these were the allegations here that were made by Chris Cluey and Chris Cluey's representatives, which were that the special teams coordinator, Mike Pryfer, made offensive and insensitive remarks about homosexuals while in Cluey's presence. Representatives of the Vikings discouraged Cluey from publicly supporting marriage equality and had knowledge of the comments prior to the article he published on Deadspin, which he just showed you. And Cluey's activism for marriage equality was the reason for his release from the Vikings on May back in 2013. Well, after this, you can see here that there's a full, I can show you the full conclusions, but this is a fair summary having looked at both. Apparently there is support on the record that Pryfer made a single homophobic statement to Cluey, and that this was made because he had become frustrated that Cluey hadn't been focused on football practice. There was no support over the course of the investigation that there had been any additional homophobic statement. There was no sufficient evidence to establish that the Vikings organization attempted to discourage Cluey from engaging in marriage equality or equal rights activism. The record supports the conclusion that players and management were concerned that it would be a distraction, but it wasn't the nature or content of his activism. So that was the ruling there. It also that Vikings management had knowledge of Pryfer's comments. This is obviously quite a long statement, but Cluey himself said during the lawsuit he hadn't reported it to the upper tier management, so they kind of dismissed that. It says here, Chloe also alleged that he was released as a result of, you know, his activism. In reality, he had a very serious injury and had a very high salary, $1.3 million, and was due to get a salary of $1.4 million because of his contract agreements if he re-signed. You can see that several coaching staff members noted that Chloe's age, previous knee injury, and leg strength showed a punter in decline. I mean, he was already 4 years past the average age of retirement, although we do know that kickers do play for a lot longer. Also, the Vikings were able to sign a replacement in the form of drafted punter Jeff Locke for $405,000, which was one-third of Chloe's scheduled 2013 salary. So it was basically just a sports decision. There was no support that he was put into a hostile work environment. And basically, the upshot was that the special teams coordinator had to had a three-game suspension for what he said, and that there would be enhanced sensitivity training for all Viking employees. And as well, just as to make it absolutely clear, it was reported in ESPN that Chloe received no money, and the Vikings instead elected to make a $100,000 contribution to charities that support LGBTQ, I think now is it as well, you know, causes. So the parties did not announce the financial terms of the settlement, but Chloe said he will not receive any money. And in addition to that, he says that he's going to write a book about it, or has always said that he was going to write a book about his experiences with the Vikings, but he cannot publicly discuss some allegations he made in the Deadspin piece in January. So he can talk about his time, but just not specifically that. And that is again in 2014. So this is Chris Chloe in a nutshell. You know, I think, being honest, I think this should be enough to discredit him as a progressive in the traditional sense. He kind of hijacked a cause to basically justify why he'd been released when he simply wasn't physically capable anymore and was getting a lot of money for not being physically capable anymore. I've always dismissed him on that basis, that I think that's quite a, you know, pathetic thing to do. But apparently he's going to be a big deal in esports. A lot of people seem to like the fact that Chris Chloe, this mainstream sports individual, has been talking a lot about esports. And my, does he like to talk about it? You know, quite, I think not even the most recent, but one of the instances that really got a lot of attention was here. He wrote an opinion piece over on Rift Herald, saying esports needs an actual league and I should be the commissioner. This was in May 2016. And this article did generate a little bit of attention. You know, he's talked about the banning. He was talking about the banning of Renegades, the TDK drama, which again I've covered extensively on this channel and elsewhere. And this is a guy talking about, you know, something he doesn't really understand. You know, he may watch it casually, and he does tweet quite a little bit about LCS and LCS games, but basically he thinks all esports has to be regulated like the NFL, and he is suitable to be the commissioner of it. And, you know, he talks about esports a lot, and people really open up to it because this is the validation that we crave, that mainstream sports guys are going to talk about us. But it really shouldn't be this guy. And I'm going to show you why in just a moment. But former NFL player, lifelong gamer, and author Chris Chloe has had an incredibly interesting life, from setting franchise records as a punter for the Vikings to writing sci-fi books. He's a published author now as well, and essays on social issues. And they talk about him a lot. And you can see, again, I'm talking about, you know, Renegades and LCS and Derby bans and how he wants esports to be regulated. And you can even go further back, and he has talked about, you know, the rise of esports kind of, you know, back in 2015 even. So, you know, it's something, once his career effectively came to an end in 2014, you see confirmation of his retirement in inverted commas, after the NFL allegedly blacklisted him for his progressive views, not what happened at all, poor reporting here. But you can see again, he talks a lot about it, talks a lot about making the step up to being a sports person. He criticizes Colin Cowherd and says him retiring would be a good thing. So he makes all these overtures to the esports community. Basically, everyone's like, oh, wow, a sports guy, a record holder at a NFL franchise is coming out and advocating for esports. This is fantastic. Well, unfortunately, Chris Cluey's politics really started to kind of, poison his mind. And just the other day, I made this point in a previous video saying that we absolutely should not be supporting people like this coming into esports. They don't really understand the lay of the land, and they're using it to inject their politics. I mean, that's ultimately what he's going to do. Well, I couldn't believe this. This completely escaped my attention last month. But this guy actually advocated for a violent civil uprising in America against Trump's presidency. And I mean, I'm not saying one tweet, a sustained diatribe on Twitter where he's actually even telling people how to become armed. I mean, this is like the guys who dig themselves into bunkers, listen to stuff on shortwave radio, and try and be off the grid from the government, and eventually, fucking end up shooting a bunch of people. It's actually quite terrifying, the nature of his tweets, especially when you consider he's got an audience. Now, Heat Street did report this at the time, but it seems to have fallen mostly on deaf ears. I'm going to show you, I collated all of the tweets here. And trust me, none of this is fake. These are still on his Twitter feed. It seems amazing to me that saying this kind of thing should get you investigated by the FBI, in my opinion. This is dangerous talk. So you can see here, he says, they, and they refers specifically to the government, Trump's government, are not playing by your rules. If we do not resist everything, they will take everything. And again, that resist has become this kind of hashtag that they're using. I'm not sure what it is they're resisting or how they propose to resist it by causing, by attacking Trump supporters and causing damage to public property. I'm not sure what you're resisting. You're simply, making taxpayers foot the bill. And of course, a lot of these people are students and probably don't pay taxes. If you do not or are not willing to understand that this is going to come down to violence, you better wake up right fucking quick. And then he adds, by all means, pursue non-violent means first. These people don't care. They will roll the tanks over you as you stand in Tiananmen Square. Now, I mean, first of all, any comparisons to the Chinese government and the way they deal with political dissidents is farcical. It shows a true lack of understanding and lack of geopolitical nuance. But not only that. I think we've seen quite the opposite. I mean, it's been reported that the Berkeley riots, for example, that the police were told not to make arrests and to stand down during. There's numerous videos of anti-fascist protesters attacking people they allege are fascists and simply being allowed to do this in the presence of police. That they've took a very hands-off approach. There aren't going to be any tanks rolling over these people anytime soon. By all means, though, if you have a violent, if you're proposing a violent uprising with guns and forming armed militia to overthrow the government, yeah, they probably will try and shoot you down. I don't think they'll need tanks to do it, though. Why will it come to violence? These are stupid people. Self-awareness level zero, of course, in a position of power they never expected and will cling to it no matter the cost. This is somebody who's proposing a violent overthrow of a democratically elected government. They do not care about you. They do not care about me. They do not care about anything other than themselves. History is replete with examples of what happens when people like that hold the levers of a nation, state, city, or village. So while I join all of you in hoping for the best, I also hope you're preparing for the worst, because that's far more likely to happen. It's at this point, he says, there are far more citizens with access to firearms than the right wing gives credit to. And actually, if you follow that tweet there in his thread, he refuses to disclose how many weapons he has. And you can see here, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the following is a complete list of fascist regimes removed without violence. End list. And he says this is an accurate list. So the only way to overthrow a regime that you deem to be fascist has to have violence. Now, this is actually something a lot of progressives are advocating for. This violence solves it, is the only solution to fascist regimes, or regimes they label fascist, I should say. And the reality here is that, what does that say about, Gandhi's peaceful protest movement, Martin Luther King's peaceful protest movement, all the peaceful protests in history, Tibetan Buddhists that laid down their lives and self-immolated and things like this to raise awareness of Chinese occupation. What does that say about their kind of causes and the relative successes they've had? Then this is where it really starts to go kind of batshit. And this is why I'm saying this is somebody who's very dangerous to be anywhere near esports. Maybe I can't control the mainstream media giving this guy, platform and adding credence to what he says. I certainly can't make the mainstream media call him out for this sort of hysteria. But I can certainly make people in esports aware that if you're going to employ Chris Cluey, if you're going to use Chris Cluey as a mouthpiece for your products, understand he advocates for gun violence. And you can see here, he says, learn how to prepare basic food staples, beans, rice, and various proteins. Become familiar with a Glock 17, 19, 22. Different brands of Glock there. Glock's a very simple hand gun to use, one of the most simple and notoriously so, and very easy to wield and doesn't have a lot of recoil, etc. As I said before, if the armed services enter this fight, everyone is fucked. Prepare to resist local LEO willing to don the jackboots. Glock 17, 19, 22 are the most commonly used service weapons. Know how to handle, clean, and maintain one. You do not need to own one. When the shit hits the fan, plenty will be available off captured armories or gun shops. Why are you going to be capturing armories or gun shops? Why are you going to be doing that? Understand the basics of cover, movement, and when to retreat in a combat situation. Learn the local lay of the land. It sounds trite, but paintball is a fantastic way to learn this without killing yourself. So, And also hilariously adds, wake up, this is real life now, not GG. I presume that refers to Gamergate. So here he is telling his followers to go out, get a gun, learn how to handle it, maintain it, but don't worry because you don't need to own one. When the violent uprising happens, that's the shit that's going to hit the fan, there's going to be ones available because we are going to capture armories and gun shops. I mean, this is obviously, the guerrilla warfare handbook in action. This is unbelievable. This is like, Che Guevara or something. Talk to your neighbors, family members and friends. Form local networks that don't rely on internet/phone communication. So in other words, communicate about this violent uprising that we're going to have in a means that the government can't monitor. And then somebody pointed out that he'd been anti-gun. He says, I've never been anti-gun. I've been anti-gun for those guns that are solely designed to kill lots of people really quickly. He moves past that, starts giving gun safety lessons. Treat every firearm as if it's loaded. Never point a firearm at someone you're not prepared to shoot. And then he says, that they are going to implement martial law no matter what we do. Maybe try paying attention to the past week of executive orders. I mean, there isn't a single executive order that's been passed that pertains to martial law. And then he adds, I'm happy to be proven wrong on all of this because that would mean we avoided disaster. However, from studying history, we're entering a really dangerous time that generally doesn't work out well for everyone involved. Well, it certainly is a dangerous time. It's dangerous when nutters, I mean, absolute insanity, insane people propose that everybody needs a gun to overthrow the government because martial law is being implement it slowly through executive orders that have nothing to do with martial law, apparently. It's very bizarre. You can also see as well, it flies contrary to things he said in the past. He says he's never been anti-gun in this article here on the Daily Caller with a very leading headline, I will say. Washed up NFL player blames NRA for UCLA shooting. He had a rant against the NRA and he referred to them as gun nuts. So this is a guy who is advocating people get guns or violently uprise and secure gun shops and armories to give guns, to disseminate guns. He's saying, thanks, gun nuts and NRA. Just thanks. You do so much for the world. So fucking much harm. And then he says here, according to the NRA, the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. This is back in June 2016. Well, this is exactly what you've just advocated for. That you are the good guys, you have the guns, and this is the only way to stop a fascist uprising. He also says, you know, it's proven that gun control leads to less gun deaths. The NRA opposes gun control. Only a bad person would want to cause more deaths. The NRA has guns. Here's what number six is. So, I mean, he's saying there that if you advocate for everybody to have guns, you are causing more deaths, and that makes you a bad person. Well, by his own measure, that makes him a bad person. So you can see this individual has become quite deranged since the appointment of Trump, and this is something that's not atypical among progressives. They're really struggling to validate, to reconcile their worldview when the majority of people are starting to get increasingly tired with it and tired with freedom of speech being impinged upon and all of this nonsense. But as I said, this is somebody who is entering esports in a big way. And I don't know about you. I certainly don't want people who, first of all, want to inject their personal politics into everything, be it a sporting career, whatever, coming into esports. I don't want it to become sullied by identity politics. I soundly reject that because it doesn't do anybody any good. And once you start appeasing those people, the floodgates open and you quickly find yourself with absolutely nothing left of the scene, the hobby, the pastime, the industry, whatever it is that you once knew. But I think most importantly, I don't want unstable people who advocate for violent militias to overthrow a fictitious Nazi government coming into esports, being around young people. I think this is dangerous. I think there's an actual genuine danger there, that kind of rhetoric could be disseminated among young people. And it wouldn't even surprise me, much like they allege that these imaginary fascists and Nazis, you know, they use speaking tours to recruit. It wouldn't surprise me at all if actually progressives were looking at esports and gaming as a way to kind of reach the youth and start recruiting people to their causes, which, as you can see from what Chris Cluey is proposing there, are absolutely just, it's absolute insanity. That we're certainly not in an oppressive regime. We're certainly not at the stage where a violent civil uprising and subsequent civil war, I might add, is appropriate. And to suggest that we are just shows you are completely divorced from reality, much like the time you unsuccessfully sued or attempted to sue your employers for things that didn't stand up under legal scrutiny whatsoever. So there you have it, Chris Cluey. Don't want him coming to esports. If you see him involved in esports, make your opinions known about it. I certainly will be, should this madness continue. Anyway, I'll be back with some more reporting and another podcast soon. But until then, you take care, and I'll see you on the next video.